Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Ben, I want to get your take on this. I threw this out on Twitter and got a bunch of mixed reaction. There was some that reacted in the way that I was intending it to mean. But I was talking about Dak yesterday, as well as, for the most part, the second half of the Philly game, looking like 2016 Dak. Now, what I want to throw out there is these numbers. The numbers were 22 of 32 for 208 yards, no touchdowns, though he ran one in, no interceptions, no fumbles. The longest pass was 34 yards. He took two sacks that lost a total of 17 yards.
By the counting numbers, maybe.
So, you know, he's completing about two-thirds of his passes. It's 200-yard passing day. Zeke obviously had a bunch of yards, no turnovers, and they won the game. And so people are like hitting me back with different thoughts, and some were throwing numbers out there, but I didn't mean it at all. I didn't have any, when I tweeted, I didn't even look at the numbers. It had nothing to do with the numbers to me. To me, what it had to do with, if you look at that Philly game, he had to go get answers in the second half of the game. Like the way Philly was playing, he had to go get touchdowns. And it's obviously it's a group effort, but he had to lead that effort. And you had those numbers last week about what he did on those drives.
7 of 8
so,
on those drives.
Boom. And then yesterday, they had to, at certain times, he had to make plays to keep drives alive, to get when he ran the touchdown in, picking up third downs, critical plays at critical times where I'm watching it and I'm not going, man, what a badass quarterback. I'm going, man, that guy, he is just, he gets it done. He's got to get it done. And if he doesn't get it done, the whole thing falls apart. And he steps up and makes whatever that little play is, he ends up making it at the right time. And that's what those last 2 weeks have looked like to me.
He's got the clutch gene.
Yes.
You know, and I've called it a will to win, maybe more than a skill to win. And, you know, watching in games all over the NFL yesterday, good quarterbacks make mistakes every game. And we've talked about that before. You know, you watch only if you only watch the Cowboy game, going, oh my God, he missed this guy wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But any game you watch and the quarterback is missing guys.
Right.
I mean, look at Cam Newton on the game deciding 2-point conversion. Yeah. He's got a receiver wide open.
Yeah.
And he doesn't throw the ball.
Right.
And Phillip Rivers yesterday, all he had to do was complete a pass to a guy so the clock didn't stop and they win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he just threw it to the ground and totally missed. And Phillip Rivers is one of the best quarterbacks in the game. But when it matters most, Dak has been there. I think Jeff Kavanaugh brought up a great point. You know, people get so confused. They get so dug in on the quarterback thing. And I get it. It's part of being passionate about being a fan. But there's a big difference, and Kavanaugh tweeted this, between you can win with this guy, number one, or number two, he's special. You better pay that guy. Back up the Brinks truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it comes into focus for me is, okay, this guy is – at worst, a good bus driver. At best, he is a stunt bus driver. But he's not he's not ever going to be the quarterback that's going to put you on his back and throw for 350 yards a week. But he's got a ton of intangibles. We know that. The leadership
right.
thing, running in the game. And these clutch plays that he continues to stack is something. But he's never going to be an upper echelon quarterback. If he's in a system with a good defense and a good running game and a good line, can you win with him? You know, do you pay that guy? I don't know. But I do know that, like, just in terms of his stats on the year, you know, he's 25th in passing yard. He's 33rd in yards per game. He's 24th in passing TDs. He's 26th in passing plays of 20-plus yards or more. 24th in he's second in taking the most sacks at 24.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of those sacks have been on him.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, have we turned a corner? You bring up great points in the game against Philly. He got it done. When he had to. In this game, he got it done when he had to. That pass to Cole Beasley in the fourth quarter was an absolute thing of beauty.
It was huge.
But when this offense is clicking and when it's working, you're not asking Dak to do everything.
Right.
And, you know, so in if Zeke is going to get 5 yards a pop, then things are going to be much easier for the quarterback.
Right.
And that's what it was yesterday.
Yeah. And so I think everything, so the one thing that I don't agree with what you're saying is, and I don't know what the term is, I don't see him as a bus driver because I don't see bus drivers as guys that make plays in clutch times like he does.
Yeah. So it's semantics.
Yeah. So it's like kind of hard to go, like when I think of bus driver, I think of, you know, just plug that guy in and don't turn the ball over, which I see him as more of that.
Colt McCoy?
More than that. I think Colt McCoy is a bus driver, right? You know, generally your backup quarterbacks.
I think of a bus driver as a guy who you're not asking him to win or lose the game with his arm. You're just saying, Right. Don't turn it over.
Right. And really, quite honestly, there's not that many quarterbacks that you're asking to do that. Like right now, we're all very high on Goff. And I think Goff is great. And I'd have no problem paying Goff. It'd be interesting to see Goff if he didn't have Gurley. You know, it'd be interesting to see how different those things are.
Yeah.
Have you ever played
but he's,
golf?
He's but, throwing for 315 yards a game, putting up 35 points.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a different system, but he's also the number one pick in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Or number was golf.
That's
number?
Why
yeah.
I wouldn't compare him to him. I don't think of
no,
I mean,
I know. I'm not saying that. Right. But what I'm saying is I don't just see him as a guy. Like I think an interesting comparison when people want to talk about quarterbacks is I think the Alex Smith comparison is interesting. And I don't think anybody, because of the position, looked at Washington as having overpaid Alex Smith. Alex Smith is basically making 13 this year, 15 the next, 16, then 19, then 21. And I don't think anybody looks at him as being overpaid. Now, Alex Smith is also way older. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, I think of him as being better than Dak. I mean, he was the former number one.
He was the number one pick, but keep in mind, he got replaced by Colin Kaepernick and they went to the Super Bowl. And he was
Kaepernick's a hell of a quarterback, too.
Right.
But I think he's better than Dak also.
But my whole point is that Alex Smith is 35 years old. How old is Alex Smith? 34 years old. So I suspect that when Dak is 30, if he stays healthy, he's going to be way better than he is right now.
No doubt.
Way better.
Experience helps.
Experience means a lot. And so that's why I don't look at Dak right now and go, oh, all he's ever going to be is this guy. I think he's going to get better if he stays healthy, you know, get better weapons around him. I think he'll continue to grow. And, I mean, I never think he's going to be the way we look at Phillip Rivers, for example. I don't think he's ever going to be that. But I don't see any reason why he can't be the same as Alex Smith when he's 30, if not better, because he makes big plays at big times.
I think his upside is to be maybe somewhere between 14 and 16 in the league. One of the middle-of-the-road quarterbacks in the league. But a guy who, if he continues to show clutchness, these clutch plays, that's fantastic. But he has to work within a system. For him, it all has to be synchronicity between the running game.
I think right now at this age in his third season, for sure. But I definitely think he's got way more upside.
You're asking a guy where he was taken fourth round, what he makes right now, okay? Because I know we all do the commit long-term thing, and I'm like, really? Honestly, they're not going to have to deal with that if they want to franchise him for a year or two.
And
they're
that's
really
a
not
going
to have to deal
away.
With that until right. the next after the next presidential election.
Right.
Like, it's a long ways away. And it's likely a new system away. Okay? Linehan's not coming back.
I want to see him in a new system.
I do too.
And, you know, you may feel totally differently about him. We all may feel differently about him if you see him in a system that's catered to his strengths and weaknesses. But you keep saying that Linehan's gone no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
He
should be gone. And I've been the king of the. I've been at the front of the mob, holding my pitchfork and torch the highest. But if they roll out a bunch of wins here, and go to the playoffs, win a playoff game,
he better do it with a lot of creativity.
I'm just saying, how
he
do
gone?
You, I hope so.
He gone.
Well, I think the real question would be
Garrett, though. Garrett's safe. I know everyone wants to lose because you get Garrett fired. They ain't ever gonna happen.
I think I almost think Garrett's safe no matter what.
He's safe right
now. I think they would have to lose five of their remaining games to lose Garrett. Because since Jerry Jones walked up to Garrett and said, "Are you nervous?" They put off two of their biggest wins in the last 5 years. And I guarantee you excuses for the Tennessee game were amazing.
Yesterday, they won in spite of Garrett.
Right.
Playing for a field goal. Playing for a 40-plus yard field goal.
But, okay, the question I think is interesting on this is, would Garrett fight for Linehan? If they go on a tear here, is Garrett... Because Garrett knows, is he going to go fight for Linehan?
I don't think it matters. I think the decision's already been made. I think we're good, and the decision's been made.
I agree with that, but I think to Ben's point, if the Cowboys win four or five more games...
What if I told you the decision's already been made?
Well, if you know that...
I don't know that.
Okay.
But what if I told you the decision's already been made?
I think
Because that's how I feel.
I think they were leaning that way 2 weeks ago, but I also think that this specifically Jerry has shown that when the wind blows really incredibly strong another way, he likes to fly with the wind.
What if I told you the decision was made a month ago?
Well, I know that they were meeting.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what if I told you that?
I know that they were meeting in Philly talking about how they were going to finish the rest of the season without Linehan.
Expecting
and without
to lose.
Kellen Moore, expecting to lose. But they mm-hmm. won, and they kept their job.
Right.
You know, it would be great, even no matter what happens, for them to say, hey, way to rally with your job on the line. That should help you in your next gig. But, man, we're ready to move on.
They're ready to move on.
They
probably.
Need to. Yeah. They have a quarterback who does some things well, some things he can't do well. They need to build a system that focuses on what he does well.
Absolutely.
Jerry and Steven are going to sit around a TV tonight. They're going to watch tonight's game and go, we need more of something like this.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to end up wanting.
I just don't know at this point who would fight for Linehan.
I don't think anyone would.
Right.
I think everyone knows.
Garrett would up until the point where they told him shut up.
I think after.
Right.
But to your point, Ben, I think the way this season has gone, Garrett knew that it was all hanging in the balance 2 weeks ago. He's not going to keep digging in with that guy.
No.
He's in a position where he can actually remain a head coach and not have to do much.
That's why he gave him the offense
right,
in 2017.
By not taking over the play calling.
So
as I pointed out, he's insulated, man. He's insulated himself in this bubble wrap cocoon.
So bring in an offensive coordinator that actually in
Garrett
concert
gave
with
it up
the time.
Fully in 2017. He said, "Scott, the offense is yours," and it was a calculated decision.
And is not fighting for it now.
Right.
It's a calculated decision to get away from it.
Right.
I mean, like. Don't worry about Scott. Scott, keep calling good plays, man. I thought Scott was pretty good yesterday, by the way.
I thought the last 2 weeks he's been really good.
I want to say this about Dak, though. You with Dak, I'm asking right now out of Dak, right now, I'm just asking you to not turn the ball over one, okay?
He didn't.
I'm asking you to make plays with your feet. He did. Man, when he hulked that linebacker, it was like a 1 yard. Mm-hmm. And I hated that play call, by the way. No offense, Scott.
He's a big listener.
And then I also need him in the clutch when it's time to go put the team on your back. Go make plays with your arm, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the two most underrated plays of the last two wins are the Michael Gallup plays on third down.
Oh my God,
the Michael
no
Gallup
doubt.
Comeback route yesterday.
Yes.
Will be forgotten because the big play was the toss over the middle to Cole Beasley.
Right.
But I'm sitting here going, okay, and I get this on Twitter. Why are you defending this guy all the time? I'm not defending the guy. I just want to have some reason. Like you want to throw out passing yards all the time. I'm like, guys, Tony Romo averaged 220 yards per game in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you – that's – Dak's numbers are going to be probably around 200 to 250 yards a game.
And they're
that's
trying –
what it's going to be in this offense when you're
trying
to run the ball.
And you can't compare his numbers to other quarterbacks because they're not even trying to do
but
the
no,
same
but
thing.
But it always goes back to that. And I'm like, it's just not – it's not the way this works, you know? So Dak's been better. In fact, take away the interception, the worst – just the worst throw I've ever seen in anyone throw in the NFL. The interception in the Tennessee game.
It was bad.
The Cowboys might win that game if you take that away.
Have you guys...
So just don't do that. Don't drop the ball. Don't throw the ball away.
Here's
and
the
you
other
got
thing.
A good chance to be in every single game you play.
Right. And here's the other thing that is good for yesterday on Dak's side of the ledger. It is a road game. A road game where it's tough to win in the NFL. And in that road game... Your most sure-handed receiver dropped a touchdown, and you had two interception drops in the first half.
Oh.
And you missed an extra point.
Mm-hmm.
All of that happened, and he persevered through all of it. It's not just him. It's the team.
Hey.
But he is at the helm. They persevered through all that and won a game that you're really not supposed to win when those sorts of things don't go your way on the road.
They tried to lose the game, and they won. They tried to lose. They got up by 10 and tried to lose it.
They overcame won. A lot. You know, we talked about the Lance Lenoir penalty.
Oh, my God.
That was a stupid penalty. That dude flopped, though, too.
He did flop hard.
That was an incredible flop.
It was really good.
Acting.
What was Lance Lenoir doing?
I don't know.
What did he think was going to happen there?
Now, there's been a lot of talk, too, about, okay, Garrett just slapped his helmet and said good job or whatever. I don't know. You know, there's different things. You can respond differently in that situation. He could admonish him in front of everyone on national television and that people could go, wow, look at what a hard-ass Garrett is. He's got a heart now. Or he could say, hey, come on, that's a bonehead play,
yeah.
And then go deal with it behind closed doors. As long as it's dealt with, I guess I'm okay with it. I would love to see some passion.
I'd love to see some ass chewing.
But what does it really do? What does that really do other than, you know, satisfy your thing that you're into?
How does that help the guy who probably shouldn't be on an NFL roster?
But I don't know. Yeah, like, you know, what do you know, think? Like, yeah, your dad is a coach. You have thoughts on this. Is it good to admonish the guy in front of everyone or do it behind closed doors?
Well, the thing that which stuck out to me is that what Garrett did is what Garrett always does, okay? And I think it would have had tremendous impact, enormous impact, if he grabbed him by the face mask and pulled him in tight and said something very sternly and then let go and slapped him on the butt and sent and pointed to the bench.
Grabbed his face mask? We had to talk about that not being okay.
Yes.
Remember?
Grabbed his face mask and pulled him in.
Just talked about that not being okay.
No, I'm not talking about yanking it around. I'm talking about pulling him in and getting right in his eyes, and we don't know what he's saying, and then turning around and smacking him on the ass and pointing towards the bench. That because we wouldn't have known what he said. The team wouldn't have known what he said, but it would have gone a tremendously far way.
Perception-wise,
because Garrett never does that.
He just doesn't care about perception. That's why he doesn't care what we think about him. He doesn't care that he's boring and robotic. But that's why he gives us nothing at press conferences. As long as what he says to the Joneses is what they want to hear, he's fine. It doesn't matter what we think.
Right, but what I'm saying, Ben, is to the other guys standing on the sidelines. Because he never does that stuff.
Or do they respect it if he does it behind closed doors and doesn't embarrass him on national TV?
Maybe.
If he blows him up during the meeting, during a meeting or something. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
It was terrible. I just don't, I don't remember him ever being on the field this year, and then I saw that. So to me, it's like, that's not the way to stand out. I was like, oh, I guess he's not on the practice squad anymore or whatever. Nice play. But man, did that suck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.